Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so honored again to stand before you. And I appreciate God for giving us this another opportunity to appear before His throne of grace. Because when we come in the house of the Lord, David said that when they told me that let's go into the house of the Lord, I was glad. Why he was glad? Because this is the place where we meet our God. This is the place where God touch our lives. This is the place where God speaks to us. This is where God releases his love towards us. Now that's why David said that I was glad when they told me to come in the house of the Lord. Now I don't know if also you are glad of being in the house of the Lord. If you are glad, then that's good. If you are here and you feel that you are in the wrong place, then something is wrong. Because in the house of the Lord we have to be glad. We come to meet our God, to hear from our God. Then you have to be happy of that. Now, if you are not comfortable, that means there's something wrong with you, which does not allow you to be comfortable in the house of the Lord. Therefore, I thank God for that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for this wonderful time which you have given us. Come and speak to us and touch our lives, Lord. I know that you have brought us here for a purpose. My God, reveal your purpose unto us. You have brought us here, Lord God, to speak to us, my God, to put us to put things right with you. Therefore, Lord, come and touch our life and change us to walk right with you, my Father. We don't want to miss you, Lord. We rather miss each and everything that missing you, my God. We want to be with you. We want to walk with you. We want to love you. We want to have fellowship with you, my God. Father, let your will be done. Have your way in our midst. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Some of you who don't know me, I'm Steve Busura. I come from Uganda. I'm married to Judith and a wonderful daughter, Treasure. I'm the pastor of Living Church of Christ in Uganda, East Africa. I believe that also one day God will bring you down there and be a blessing to the body of Christ. We need you there.
Go ahead, find your place. I don't have a lot of people in my life that challenge my life. Brother Steve challenges my life. He speaks into my life from God. If you open your heart to God today, He's going to do that with you. He has a testimony of how God brought him to the Lord, and he wasn't raised in a Christian home. If you hear a story sometime, it'll touch your heart. It'll probably open your eyes to some things. But at 17, he came to know the Lord, and God immediately called him to preach. And he has started 200 churches in Uganda and overseas, 200 churches. He travels around the world speaking all over the place. And I just want you to do something today. And that is, listen as if your life depended on it. Listen as if your life depended on it. Because you know what? It may. The rest of your life may depend on it, what you hear today. So just open your heart, open your ears, open your eyes, and just let God speak to you today, okay? He's a man of God, okay?
Thank you. Hallelujah. On Friday we started the topic of positioning yourself in the right position. I'm still going on with it, that we need to position ourselves in the right position. Those who were here on Friday, I told you that God is the God of order. Now, because he's the God of order, he has to put all things in order. He has to make sure that he puts everybody in the right position where he is supposed to be. is not the God of confusion. He's the God of order who wants each and everything to be done in order. Now, because he's the God of order, that's why he has to position you somewhere. So that when he wants to communicate or to have fellowship with you, he knows exactly to find you. He knows exactly where you're supposed to be. When he wants to talk to you, when he wants to send you somewhere, he knows where to find you. Because it's a God of order. Now, when God positions us somewhere, it's our duty to keep ourselves in that position where God has positioned us. When we disposition ourselves, then we miss what God has for us. And that's the devil, what he's doing in this last day generation is to disposition people. Most of people, they are dispositioned. They are out of the press. They are out of where God wants them to be. Even ministers. I remember one day I was in Uganda. There's a certain preacher. He's one of the one who have got a big church here. She has a big church here in the United States. They asked him, he was on the program. Then they asked him, that Jesus is the only way which takes people to God. Then he said that we have many ways which leads us to God. Miai was amazed, such a preacher telling people that we have many ways which leads us to God. And the Bible says Jesus himself said, I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and life. That means we have just one way which leads us to God. There's not any another way. We have one person who was hanged on Christ. That's Jesus. He's the one who died and rose. That's the only person whom we know that he was hanged, he died, and rose again. He's seated on the right hand of our God, interceding on our behalf. We don't have anybody. But we hear a preacher coming on the program, people they are listening to him, saying that we have a lot of ways which can take us to heaven. That's a lie. That is a sign of ministers or ministries being dispositioned themselves. You understand? They questioned him. Another question. That do you believe that even gays, they go in heaven? He says, yeah. That's what he said. Yeah, they can go there because God loves them. I know God loves them, but they have to change their behaviors. Now, that is a sign to which shows that people, they have dispositioned themselves. They are out of the right position. Therefore, God is calling us back to come back into the right position. Before we go back to our chapter in Luke chapter 5, chapter 15, let's first read in Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2.
Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it.
Can you read chapter 1 from verse 1?
Chapter 1 from verse 1?
Mm-hmm.
The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth.
You can see that. You hear? Now we have seen those two chapters, chapter 1 and chapter 2. But chapter 2 it says I will stand upon my watch. And set me upon the tower. And I watch to see what he will say unto me. This is a man, Habakkuk, who was called by God. He was called by God. He was separated by God. God gave him a vision. But the time came, Habakkuk went away from the right position. Now, when he was out of the right position, he could not communicate with God because he was in the wrong position. Now, when you read chapter 1, he said that, how long shall I call upon thee and you don't answer? Remember, God had called him. God has given him the vision. Now he's complaining why he's calling God and God does not answer. The reason was that he was out of the position. Then he could not communicate with God. Now he found himself complaining, why do I call upon you and don't answer me? Now we have such a people who are out of the position and they cannot communicate with their God. Now instead of realizing the mistakes, they complain. Why, God, you don't answer me? Why all these things comes on my way? They come on your way because you are out of the position. Right. Then until Habakkuk came back into his senses in chapter 2 and say, I will stand upon my watch. He does not say that I'm standing upon my watch, but he's saying, I will. That means he's going back to stand where he was supposed to stand. I will stand upon my watch. He realized that where he was, that's not the right place for him to be. Now he said that I'm going back the right place where I'm supposed to be. And I set myself, and set me upon the tower. And I want to see what he will say unto me. And what I'll answer. When he went back to the right place, God told him that write down the vision. The Bible does not say that God gave him the vision. But he told him to write down the vision. That means he had already given him the vision. But when he went out of the position, God couldn't communicate to him. God couldn't talk to him. God couldn't tell him what he's supposed to do. But when he went back to the right position, then God told him, okay, write that down, the vision which I gave you. You have the vision, write it down. Why? Because he was back in the right position. Find yourself. Check yourself. Where are you? Most of people, most of families, we have disposition ourselves. That's why we see divorce and problems within the family. We are seeing the church is becoming weak, disorganized, the body of Christ, because we have disposition ourselves. Right. We don't know what's going on within our life because we have disposition ourselves. That's why yesterday we read a verse in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. God is calling us back to the old path. Right. Where we may have peace. When we are out of the right way, then we might not have peace. That's what's going on within the lives of people. People, they don't have peace, they don't have joy, they don't enjoy their life because they are out of the right position, and God is calling us to go back to the right, to the old path. You understand that? Now, on yesterday we talked about in Luke chapter 15. Can you read back? Can you turn back? Turn to Luke chapter 15. Can you read it from chapter 15 from verse 11?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Luke 15 verses 11 through 23. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came, to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry.
We are seeing a man who had two sons. Yesterday I gave you those who were here. Let me repeat it. Yesterday we saw a father who has two sons. And normally when you want to meet, to see the father always there in the family. That means that everybody, it's God's plan, somebody to live in the family. To have a parents, to have mom and dad. It's when you see somebody who was brought up in a family, and somebody who was brought up on a street, there's different. The way how the kid who was brought up in the family, the way how he sees things, he sees them differently with the one who was brought up on the street. Now, it's not God's plan for children to be brought up on the street. He wants all of them to live in the family. That's why even our Lord Jesus Christ, God had to plan and see that he positions him in the family, where there's a father and there is a mother, so they can grow up in the family. That's God's plan. And now the devil, what he does, he fights and bring all confusion in the family, so that children, instead of growing in the family, they go on the street. Remember I told you that our God is a God of order. Now because he's the God of order, he brings children within the family. Now this man here, he had two sons. Now the young one requested and said, please give me what belongs to me. I don't think that when he asked for what belongs to him, that even the father just gave it out. I think they took time discussing about it. Because I don't believe the father who cares, he just said, okay, you want to go? Take what you want. No, I believe that they entered into discussion. Right. Advising the kid. But the kid was determined to go. Right. He wants to leave. Now, the father gave the kid his portion because of the position in the house. That son had a position in the house. I believe that even he had his bedroom in that house. Each meal they had to put there his share because it was part of the family. He had even his own cup, plates, his plate, where he could use to eat food. Because he was part of the family. He had a position in the family. Now, until he said that, now I'm going away. In other words, he said, I'm going to disposition myself. But give me, before I disposition myself, give me what belongs to me. Then the father gave him what belonged to him. The Bible says that not many days, he gathered all what was given to him. He went with it. Remember, he was given all what was given to him because of the position in the house. When he went away, he left the position, but he went with things. The Bible said that he misused them. He couldn't maintain it. He couldn't sustain it. Why? Because he was out of the position. The position is very important because it empowers you. The position provides even the protection. The position to provide even the provision. Because when you are in the in your father's house, your father's house has to provide. He has to provide. He has to protect you. He has to feed you. He has to take care of you because you are in the right position. But when you go out of the position, you miss the protection. You have to protect yourself. You miss the provision. You have to feed yourself. Your parents, they cannot fight on your behalf. You have to fight on your behalf because you're out of the position. You understand? I remember one day, I don't remember exactly the year, the former president of the United States, that was Clinton, he came in Uganda to visit us. But before he arrives in Uganda, they poured policemen and soldiers everywhere to protect where he was going to spend the night. They informed us in time that the President of the United States is coming to visit us. Then they start preparing everything because of his coming. Then he came. Now, recently when I was coming back, I was coming here, he was in Uganda. The first time when he came, we knew, everybody knew that the president is coming. This time when he came, nobody knew. We just read it into the newspaper. Why? The other time we knew. Because he was in the position of the president. Now because he was a president of the United States, because of that position, we had to provide the protection and everything because of the position. You understand? Now we didn't know because he's out of the position.
So in other words, he wasn't the president.
He's not. Huh? We didn't know. Why? He was the same guy because he was out of the position. That's why we don't need to know. Because he was out of the position, we didn't even need to prepare ourselves that he's coming. Even they did not put up soldiers and policemen as they did on the first time. Because he's out of the position. I understand what I'm saying. When you are out of the position, you lose each and everything which God has provided for you because of that position where you are. Now, if Obama is to come here, the President Obama, if he is to come here, let me tell you, I have to inform you that he's coming. They have to pour soldiers everywhere because of the position. But the day when he will lose that position, and he decide to come in Grand Rapids, nobody will mind about him. He's the same guy, but because he's out of the position. Now, when you are in the position where God has positioned you, the position empowers you. The position provides things which you need because of the position where you are. The position provides a protection. When you are out of the position, you are out of everything which God has for you. Then you are opening up your life to the devil to torture you, to torment you, because you are out of the position. Now this son, when dispositioned himself, the father couldn't take care of him. Why? Because he was out. Now as we have a family, also God has a spiritual family. That is the church. As we have kids in the family, also God has his children in the family. Also, as we take care to our kids, also God, he takes care to his kids. When they are in the right place. As we provide for our children, The same way God provides for his children in his house. Now, what is going on within this family? Also, it happens in the church of in the family of God. Now we see that this young son decided to disposition himself. Even in the family of God, there's some people who have decided to disposition themselves. They're out of the position. Now, as this son disposition himself and lost each and everything which was given to him, it is the same way even in the church. When you are in the right position, God provides. He protects you. He takes care of you. He fights your battles. He's concerned about you. Now, when you disposition yourself, then he cannot protect you because you are no longer in the right position. Then you cannot keep or maintain what was given to you by God because you are out of the position. It is maintained when you are in the position. It is protected when you are in the right position with your God. When you have fellowship with your God. When you can communicate with him, that's the best, the place where we can communicate with our God. Church, that's the place which we need.
Yes, sir.
We need to go back into that place of communication, of fellowship with our God, where God has positioned us. We don't come in the church because we grew up in a Christian family. We come in the church because we need to have that fellowship. We don't come in the church because we are Christians. Ah, it goes beyond that. And we enter into fellowship and relationship with God. Because that's God, what he wanted.
Right.
Even from the first day when he created us, he wanted fellowship.
Amen.
He had angels in heaven. He could go and sit with the angels. But he could leave angels and come down and talk with Adam.
Yep.
He wanted that fellowship. Remember, the angels were not created in his heaven, in his image. We were created in his image. We resemble him. He enjoys to fellowship with the people who are resembling him. He enjoys to fellowship with the people who look like him. Not angels. Angels are servants to him. He does not want to fellowship with the angels. They have to do his work. He commands them, go and do this, go and do that. They don't do that. But we men who were created in his image, he wants us to have fellowship.
That's exactly right.
Now, Christianity goes beyond Christianity. It means the fellowship with God. Remember, if Adam had not sinned, Jesus wouldn't come.
Right.
Because the fellowship with God was there. Adam, they were fellowshipping with God. But because we lost the fellowship, and God was missing that fellowship, and he wanted it, that's the reason why he created us. Then he sent Jesus to bring us back into that position where we can fellowship our God. Now, when you come in the church because, you know, our nation, we are Christians, you are lying to yourself. Oh, you know, I come in church because I was brought up in a Christian family. You're lying yourself. We go beyond that.
Right.
We have so-called Christians, but they don't have any fellowship with their God.
Right. Yep.
Are you with me?
I am.
Good. Now, when you disposition yourself, you miss what God has for you.
Amen.
You miss the protection. Some people, they are not protected because they are out of the position. Some people, they have lost each and everything they have because they are out of position. Check yourself. God is calling you back to your position. One of the things which dispositions ourselves, number one, we see this guy, this young boy, he thought that he does not want anybody to tell him what he should do. You understand? That's most of people who have disposition themselves, they reach on the level where they feel that they don't need anyone over them. They don't need anyone to tell them what they should do. They don't need anybody to give them instructions. They don't need anyone to decide for their life. They think that they can do things the way they want. They feel that they have grown, mature, they can decide for their own. Now, even this son, that's what he thought and said, no, I've grown, I'm mature enough. I don't want my father to be on my neck. I don't want my father to instruct me. I don't want my father to be over me, to give me instruction. I don't need that. Let me go out. Now, we have such a people who do not want to listen. They do not want to have anybody above them. They don't want to be to submit to somebody. They don't want somebody to give them instructions. They don't want anybody to tell them what they should do. Then they disposition themselves. That's one of the things which causes people, even married people, to disposition themselves. They feel they can do things on their own way. Let me tell you, that's what you think. But also God, He thinks, He does His things in different way. Now, if you are to keep yourself in the position, you need to do exactly what the Bible says. When you don't want to listen from anyone, hear what the Bible says. We are reading Proverbs chapter 1. We are reading Proverbs chapter 1 from verse 1 up to 7.
Mm-hmm. 1 through 7. Mm. Proverbs chapter 1 verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Mm-hmm. To know wisdom and instruction.
First of there. Here, to know what?
With
wisdom
and instruction.
There is instructions. Those instructions are given to who?
To people.
To people.
Yes.
Now, because people, they don't want to be instructed, they disposition on themselves. Some of them, they deny even coming in the church because they don't want to be instructed. And the Bible says, there is wisdom and instructions. Anybody who does not want to follow the instructions, he ends up in hell.
That's right.
Anybody who does not want to follow the instructions, he ends up dispositioning himself. Today, the church of the body of Christ, people, they don't want to be instructed. They think they can instruct for themselves. That's right. That's the deceit from the devil.
That's right.
You need somebody to give you instructions.
Amen. To know wisdom and instruction,
mm-hmm.
to perceive the words of understanding,
mm-hmm.
to receive the instruction
mm-hmm.
of wisdom,
mm-hmm.
justice, and judgment, and equity,
mm-hmm.
to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion.
Mm-hmm.
A wise man will hear
mm-hmm.
and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels.
Can you repeat verse 5?
A wise man will hear.
A wise man will hear.
And will.
So, first, wait. A wise man will hear. What the fool?
A fool doesn't hear.
The wise man will hear instructions. The wise man will follow the instructions. The fool will not hear and won't follow the instructions. Now, we have people in the church who have decided to make themselves fool because they don't want to follow the instructions.
Wow.
They don't want to hear. I'm sorry, maybe some of you are saying, now you are offending us. Okay, I'm preaching the word of God. If you don't listen for the instructions of God, then you make yourself what the Bible calls you.
Ouch. Somebody just stepped on my toes.
You understand?
Yeah.
You know, some of you, you make even the preachers fear to teach the truth because you are going to be offended. Don't offend me. Don't offend me, please. Don't offend me. Who told you that I'm coming here to offend you? Who told you? I'm not here to offend you, but I'm here to teach you the truth. Now, this is the truth.
Amen.
Now, it's up to you to be offended or to take the truth. Anybody who does not want to take the instructions, he's not wise.
Amen.
Can you read verse 5? Uh-huh.
Can I say something here?
Okay.
Can I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. God told us a long time ago we were going to do that. But anyway, when you hear a truth, like when you're in church, for example, and you're hearing a truth, you've got three things you could do. You could get offended. Does that make the truth not true? You can get offended. You could get challenged. I'm challenged by that. Mentally. I'll think about that. Or you could submit to the truth and get transformed. So I'm just asking you, take a minute, not even a minute. Take about 15 seconds right now and ask yourself, do I want to be offended with the truth? Do I just want to be challenged to have something to talk about and think about? Or do I really want to be transformed so I could have truth in my life? Which do I want? Because to receive a truth means you have to let go of a lie. And we've been holding on to a lie. Do you understand? Are you with me? Is it clear? That's how he says it. Is it clear? I told him, I said, when I go to Uganda, I know they're going to be laughing at me and they're going to be talking in Ugandese, you know, and laughing because I'm not going to know how to speak Ugandese, you know. So what do you want to be? Make that choice right now. I'm going to take 15 seconds and I'm asking you. Do you want to be offended? Do you just want to be challenged? Or do you want to be transformed? I want you to, each one of you, just ask yourself, what do you want? I better not remember. I'll go on. Verse 6.
First wait. Let me see those who grew up in the
church.
In the house of their parents.
Grew up in the house of the parents.
Uh-huh. Good. How many of you who rebelled against the instructions of your father, of your parents, and find yourself in two problems? Good. If you had followed the instructions of your father, what would happen?
I would have done a whole lot better. I wouldn't have gotten in near as much of a mess as I did.
You get me? Now, your parents, they used to instruct you to speak to you, but you couldn't listen. And at the end of the day, you find yourself into problems. And you start regretting, saying, I wish I knew. I wish I obey. I wish I did what... But when it's not late. Now, that's what is going on even in the church today. That we have the Bible, we have the Word of God, we have the book which gives us instructions, but we are saying, no, we don't want it. Ah, they offend us. Now, after rebelling, then you find yourself into problems. Why do you wait to go in problems when there's counsel? Why don't you listen? Can you read verse 5 again?
Be glad to. A wise man will hear.
Uh-huh.
And will increase learning.
And he will increase learning. A wise man. He will increase learning. That means any opportunity of listening and hearing for instructions, he will be attentive to listen it and increase in learning. Now, that means somebody who is not wise, he will stop in, he will never increase in learning. Because he does not want to hear. Now, when you separate yourself from that, then you are going to stop from learning.
Say that again.
When you separate yourself in the church.
When you separate yourself from the church.
Then you will, because you will not have anybody to teach you.
The ways of life. The ways of God.
You understand? Then changes will stop. Spiritually, you never grow. You never come near to your God because nobody teaches you. Finish that first.
And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels.
Yeah. A man of understanding shall attain the wise counsel. A man of understanding. Do you see that our generation or your generation, Do you see that your kids, are they understanding? Because most of them, they're not after war to hear from God, to hear from their parents. Then they don't understand. That's why they're messing up all the time. That's why they hang themselves. That's why they kill themselves. That's why they're on drugs. Why they're on drugs? Because they're not understanding.
Right.
They're not reason. They don't want anybody to tell them what they should do. Now, even you parents yourself, also you don't need anybody to tell you what you should do. Now you want to tell the kids. So they say, no, we don't want, because that's what you saw too. You cannot give what you don't have. Because also you don't want to listen to anybody, therefore they won't listen to you too. Go on, verse 6.
To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
God bless you. They do what? They despise wisdom and instructions. Now, anybody who does not want to be instructed, you are denying wisdom. Then the Bible calls you that you are not wise. No matter what you are, once you do that, you are not wise before God. Now, even this son who dispositions himself because feeling that he's big, he does not want anybody to rule over him, to give him instruction, to tell him what he must do, and he decided to disposition on himself. That's why he found himself in problems. That's why most of the people, most of the Christians, they find themselves into problems because they don't want to reason. They don't want anybody to instruct them. They don't want anybody to speak to them. Do you have anything to say?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I want you to listen. This is a public confession. Are you paying attention? What you see in front of you is two rebels to the extreme. He was a gang leader. He used to beat up preachers that came into his area of the city. He had a gang of about 25 guys. He was the leader. And they would beat them up. One time, the way he ended up meeting Jesus, he went to a service to disorganize it. He went to a church service to tear it up. And instead, God, who's bigger than the boogeyman, stepped in, got a hold of this guy's heart, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. This guy was a drug dealer, making $2,000 to $5,000 a week, long hair, earring in my ear, $1,000 worth of PCP in my pocket when I met Christ. You've heard it. I was a rebel. I'm the oldest son. I was a rebel. I didn't want my dad telling me what to do. I got it figured out. I don't need this. I can do it my own way as a rebel. And then God got in my life and tricked me, thinking I was going to make money selling books door to door. And the book I was selling was this book while I was a drug dealer. And I was only doing it because I made enough money, but I wouldn't spend it openly, and I wanted to go back to college because I was tired of hanging out with losers. Because I wasn't raised to be a rebel. I was raised to be a successful guy. My dad, I made straight A's in school and the whole trip, and I was taught all these manners and stuff. But when I became a teenager, my folks divorced, not blaming them. I'm just saying it was a time that the devil got in my life, and I got real mad, and I became rebellious. Now, this man came maybe 10, 11,000 miles, maybe 12,000 miles to come here. God said, maybe they'll hear if I send somebody from far. And then God brought me here and keeps me here just to irritate you with the truth. Just so you could say, why would we, that guy. And I'm just telling you, it's not me, it's not him, it's Jesus Christ. And we have been rebels, and we have been miserable, and we've had hatred and anger and separation from family and all kinds of stuff. You know why this, one of the reasons this guy was a gang leader? His own mother, at 5 years old, his mom and dad got divorced. His mom said, "I don't want him. She took him back, gave it to dad, and said, "You keep him and tell him to stay away from me." Her own son. And then when he got older, she told him that again. And so when he got old enough to write, he wrote her and said, "I don't need you." Sound like a rebel? I'm sorry? "I don't need you." Now we're up here because God, looking down from heaven in His mercy, God reached over and grabbed him out of a gutter in Uganda and grabbed me out of a gutter in America. And He said, "Now, I'm going to use you rebels who aren't rebels anymore. Now you're subjects. Now you're submissive. Now I'm your Lord. And I'm going to put you in front of people and I want you to tell them. Because you will tell them with compassion and mercy. Don't be a rebel. Be a subject. Because you're either going to be a subject of the devil's kingdom and be into rebellion and anger and hate and selfishness and thinking you're running your life and you're being controlled. Or you're going to be a subject of God. But there is no such thing as a rebel in the kingdom of God." Do you understand? That's why we're talking to you. And we care. And that's why we're here. Do you understand? We love you.
God bless you. Hallelujah. Now, that's one of the things which disposition people, they don't want to hear from anybody. They don't want to hear instruction. They don't want anybody to guide them. Now, if you are here and that's what you have been doing, you need to fight that spirit. It's ungodly. It's there to kill you. It's there to disposition you. It's there to destroy even your kids, to destroy your future. You need somebody to speak in your life. You need somebody to give you instructions. You need somebody to assist you to live a better life. You need somebody. That's why God decided to position you somewhere under leadership, under church, where there's a leadership, so they can talk to you, they can guide you, they can speak to you. Anybody who does not want that, he's killing himself. He's destroying himself. He's dispositioning himself. Now, the second thing which dispositions people, we have seen this young guy in Luke chapter 15. After being given all his share, this is what he did. This is what he did. Can you read verse 13?
Luke 15:13. Mm-hmm. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living."
Yeah. Now, after being given each and everything, given his share, maybe money or riches, because his father was doing good, then he gave him what belongs to him. Now, after having all those riches, he knew that he can succeed. Then he decided to go away with riches which was given to him. Now, some people, they're dispositioned because of the blessing which God has given them. Some people, they're dispositioned because of material things. Some people are dispositioned because of money and riches. That's why some of them, they're dispositioned. Now, like here in your nation here, God had blessed this nation. But the blessing which God blessed this nation, you have turned it into your God. Right. And you reach on the level saying that God, even God, is not there. Have you ever heard men and women on television and they said, "I don't believe that even God is there"? Imagine somebody was created, And he's saying that his creator is not there. How do you come into the earth? But that's what people they do. Because they see that they have each and everything. Money, riches, dispositions, people.
That's right.
Your nation is being dispositioned because of the riches.
Right.
Material things. You see that you have each and everything. Then you don't need God. You don't need anybody. Because you have what you have. Now even this boy, after being given the riches, he thought that now I have everything. Therefore, I don't need anything. You have to be very careful. When God gives you the blessings, don't allow things to control you. Don't allow money and things to have you. You have to control them, and you look beyond them that there is God.
Amen.
Most of people, they are dispositioned because of riches. They are dispositioned. They have become material. Material things are controlling them. Material things are leading them. Because you see that you are surrounded with each everything which you need, then you see that God, even God, is not there. Let me tell you, church, God is there.
Amen.
God is there. He is the one who created you. One day, you are going to stand before him.
Right.
And let me tell you, money won't go with you.
Right.
Riches will not go with you. Even your cars. You're going to leave the cars here. Then you stand before God alone.
Right.
Money will not plead on your behalf.
No.
Money will not give accountability on your behalf. You have to give accountability on yourself. That's why when you find, like in Africa, once you pass away, before they put you in the grave, people, they start sharing your riches. Somebody will come and take a car, somebody will come and take your suit, somebody will come and ask for book check, you know. They start dividing things before even they put you in the grave. You go away. Now imagine, these are things which has dispositioned you. And you lost the fellowship communication with your God. But now when you are going back to your God, you are not going with it.
Right.
Even if you make a will and say, okay, please, when you are back, you are putting me in my grave, please put even my car there. The night when they will do that, they will dig you out to take that car. You are not supposed to go with anything. You have to go around before God. Now, if you are saying that he's not there, wait, one day you are going to meet him.
Oh, yeah.
Riches, dispositions, people. When you read in Deuteronomy, God warns his children. Deuteronomy chapter 8, from verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8, from verse 10.
Deuteronomy. Can't you understand Uganda? Deuteronomy. Chapter 8,
from verse 10.
Verse 10.
Uh-huh.
When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee.
You hear what God is saying? That after you have eaten, when you have food in plenty, you have a good land, then you need to praise the Lord.
Exactly.
Praise his name. But here, after God giving you each and everything we need, you don't bless the name of the Lord. That's why some of you don't even attend the churches. Some of you, you don't even want to even talk about God. You don't have time for God. You are so busy because of God, what has given you, instead of blessing him for the good land which has given you. Go on.
Amen. Verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest than when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage.
You hear? Verse 14. Then thy heart is being lifted up. After you have got riches, you have got finance, you have got everything has increased, you have built up good houses, then he said that you have to be very careful so that your heart does not be lifted up. Do you believe that your nation, the hearts of people are lifted up?
Oh, yeah.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Now, don't be part of it.
Amen.
God is warning you. He said that be very careful. Huh? Can we read again that verse here? He says, be.
Let's see, which one do you want me to read?
That's verse 11. Uh-huh.
11.
Uh-huh.
Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God.
Be aware that you should not forget the Lord your God. When he has given you a beautiful house, don't forget the Lord your God. When he has given you riches and your money has multiplied, don't forget the Lord your God. When it has given you a good land, don't forget the Lord your God. But most of people, they don't do that. Their heart are lifted up. Now they see things which are surrounding them as their God.
Yep.
They are taken by the things. They find themselves being dispositioned. Your nation, that's the problem which it has. Yep. The hearts are lifted up. The children, they feel that also there. Everybody. That's why even praising and worshiping God also is a problem in the church here in the United States. You find somebody, we are praising, worshiping God, he does not care. Even you see that really, he is not on what we are doing. The Bible said that, Jesus said that, God is spirit and is good, seeking for those who can worship him in spirit and truth.
Right.
God wants somebody who can worship him from the bottom of his heart. Somebody who can give all his life and worship God. But if in some of your churches, people, they don't care about worshiping God. They don't mind. Why? Because the hearts are lifted up. Let me ask you. How do you feel your hearts, you people? Are they lifted up? Are they lifted up? If your hearts are lifted up, God is warning you. And that is a sign of being dispositioned. When your heart is lifted up, you cannot submit to God. When your heart is lifted up, you cannot obey the instructions of the Holy Spirit. When your heart is lifted up, you never obey the word of God and you never submit to it. When your heart is lifted up, you do things on your own, not the way how the Bible says. Check your heart. Go on, brother.
Verse 15. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day.
Watch over there. God bless him.
Keep
you
going.
Hmm?
Or is that it?
God bless him. You hear? God is trying to warn us that we shouldn't be taken by riches and material things. In the midst of having those riches, we have to remember our God is the one who has given us that. Not our own power. Not because we are so smart. Not because we have work hard. Not because we have each and everything which is needed, that's why we are rich. No, because God, he's the one who has done that.
That's right.
So that we can praise him with everything. When money and other things takes the first place in your life, you are dispositioning yourself. In fact, church, you will need to pray for United States and break that spirit of pride. It is a spirit holding this nation. It is a spirit holding the young generation. It is a spirit holding the families. You hear families, husband and wife, both of them, they don't want even to submit to one another. If there's no submissive in the family, when the husband can submit to the wife, even the wife can submit to the husband, then that family cannot stand. In Uganda, when we were growing, they told us that anybody who's elder than you, you have to respect him. Than you. You have to respect him. Whether it's your mom, whether it's your dad, or neighbor, or anywhere, once you meet him, you have to respect him. When you find somebody who's older than you, when he's pushing a bicycle on the mountain, they told us that you have to assist that guy. Assist him, push that bicycle up to the top of the mountain. Then give it to him, let him go. Even if he has not given you a lift, but you let him go. Because he's older than you. Now you find that all the kids we used to respect the elders. They taught us that even your elder brother, if you have your elder brother, elder sister, you the youngest, you have to respect him. You have to respect him. Even we called them in Uganda, Baba. That means he's my elder brother. He's my elder sister. They taught us that when the elder people or somebody who's older than you, when he's talking to you, listen. Until he finished, then reply if you are to reply. Don't talk at the same time when he also is talking. Because you won't listen, you won't understand what he's saying. But here is the place where you find that when the parents are talking at that moment, even the kid also is talking, you find that the kid cannot hear what the father is saying. Because both of them, they are talking at the same time. Now you find the parents raise up the voice, also the son raise up the voice. Now who is going to hear the instruction of one another? Why? Because people, their things have dispositioned themselves. Am I speaking to someone? Let's go back to the Bible. This is the book. This is the mind of God. This is the will of God. This is the book which instructs us. This is the book which guides us. Stop doing things the way we think. Let's do things the way God wants them to be done. You understand? Things which disposes on us from people, from thy right place. Because we don't want here to anybody to tell us what we are supposed to do. Riches or money can dispose on us. Thirdly, even people. People who are surrounding you. Do you have friends? If you have friends, let me see your hand. Your friends. Be very careful with those friends. Sit down and think about them. It's not bad to have friends. But if you have ungodly friends, you'll never make it. When you read in the book of Acts, the Bible said that when the leaders and the elders of Israel took the apostles and they realized that they were not educated, but they were with Jesus. Because they were walking with Jesus, Jesus imparted them. Then they started doing what he was doing. In Uganda, we have a saying that tell me somebody whom you hang on with, then I will tell you your behavior. Just you telling me that this so and so is my friend, all the time I hang up with them, I go out with them, then I will tell you what you are. Once I know the behaviors of your friend, exactly that's what you are. Now, you have to be very careful with your friends. Some people, their dispositions because of friends. People are surrounding you. People are speaking to your life. Some people, they have lost their marriages because of their friends. Because of their friends. Some children, your children have become rebellious because of their friends. A lot of people here, they're smoking, but I don't, they're smoking. But I don't believe that they were born, that they, when they came out of the womb of the mother, from the womb of their mother, that then they started smoking. Huh? They are taught by their friends. Not those who are murderers, who are killing people that they were born to kill. But because of the friends, I've taught them how to kill. Me, I was gang leader. But I was not born as a gang leader. I had a friend who trained me. Then I became that. If you are boozing, you drink alcohol, then me tell you, you are not born as a drunker. Nope. Somebody taught you. Yeah. Then you find yourself that you drink than even the one who taught you. Now, be very careful. If you are to keep your position, be very careful with the people. You know, they are my friend. I have to be with them. If they are killing you, if they are dispositioning you, tell you don't need them.
Right.
If they are causing problem in your marriage, why do you need them?
Right.
You know, I have to be with them and I change them. Who told you that you have power to change people? You cannot change somebody.
No.
Except God.
Yep.
Now, if you think that you will change them, they will change you.
That's right.
Now, what you have to do, separate yourself from them and pray for them. Don't hate them. Love them. Pray for them.
Yes.
Assist them where it's needed.
Yes.
But your relationship, that strong relationship working with them, let me tell you, they are positioning you. They are dispositioning you. Every bad behaviors which people are doing, somebody taught them. Somebody trained them into it. Some of you, you find yourself into problems because of your friends. You entered into certain problems when you are growing up because of your friends. Therefore, if you want to keep your position, check your friends. Check your friends. You need to have good friends. You need to have godly friends. That's what the Bible says in Psalms chapter 1. That's the Bible says in Psalms chapter 1. Find a good friend, godly friends. Don't sit in the counsel of the evil man. Then you'll be able. And I believe if you do that, you'll make an impact in your nation. You touch your nation. God will use you to serve your nation because God is looking for somebody, one person. You understand? Change your friends. Look for the good friends, godly friends. Let me give you the last one. Is to have, if you don't have time for the word of God, then you disposition yourself.
Yep.
You need to have time for this book. You need to love the word of God.
Amen.
The word will keep you in the right position. The word of God will keep you where you are supposed to belong. That most of people, they don't have time of the word of God. You have time of parties. You have time watching your television. You have time to go to work. It's not bad to go to work. It's good because you have to pay your bills. You find from Monday to Saturday, you don't have time for the word of God. But you have time for doing other things. Then on Sunday, you come in the church. And they read it, they read for you the Bible, and you go back home and you sit. Then let me tell you, you are going to be dispositioned.
Yep.
the more you have time for this book, the more you read it, the more you love it, the more you it positions you. Mm-hmm. Can you read in Isaiah chapter 34? Isaiah chapter 34. We are reading verse 16. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16.
Seek, Isaiah 34, 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, in his spirit it hath gathered them.
God bless you. You hear? Search from the book of the Lord. If you are to search something, you have to have time for it. You understand? If you are looking for something within your house, you need to have time so that you can search it. Now, even the Bible said that search from the book of the Lord. That means you have to have time to search into it. You have to create time. Yeah, I know. You are telling me that, Pastor, we are so busy. Thank you for being busy. But set time to search in this book. Have time. Love it.
Amen.
Read it.
Amen.
Don't spend a day without having a certain verse which you read. Because the more you read it, the more it keeps you in the position.
Yes,
the more you read it, the more it will bring you back in the right position.
Right.
The more you read it, the more you understand who is God and what God wants you to do. The more you read, the Spirit of God will reveal the Word of God unto yourself and transform your life. Because remember, we are changing every day. The Word of God has to change us. But it cannot change you unless you read it. That's what God told Joshua. That this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate into it day and night. What are you meditating? You cannot meditate into the word which you have not read.
Right.
You have to read it. If you have not done that. When you read in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18, it says that when you are seated in your home, please read this book. Talk about it. He goes on saying that put it in your heart and in your soul. How can you put them into your heart unless you read it? How can you put it in your soul unless you read it? Unless you read it. He said that when you are seated at home with your children, talk about it. What are you talking about when you are seated with your children at home? You are talking on burgers? Good. Instead of giving them the Bible, you are giving them toys. You are giving them games, how to shoot one another. Then at the end of the day, they shoot you and you complain. You know, why are you shooting me now? That's what you gave them. Instead of giving them the Bible, you're giving them games to train them how they can shoot people. When he goes to school and starts shooting his fellow students and you complain. No, that's what you gave him.
Right.
You cannot give what you don't have. You gave them that. Now they are using it.
Yep.
Church, give your children the Bible.
Yeah.
Give your children the Word of God. Now, when you give them the word of God, they will be able. You understand what I'm saying? Give your children the word. The Bible says that when you do that, then you will live longer on earth.
Amen.
If you want to live longer, get into the word of God.
Amen.
If you want to have a better life, get into the word of God. When you want to keep yourself in the position, get into the word of God.
Amen.
When you want to keep your fellowship with God, get into the Word of God. Have time and read the Bible.
Amen.
Then you'll be able to keep yourself in the position. Please come over here. After praying for them, I'm going to request to all the married. When you hear you're married, we are going to pray for you to your marriage. You understand? When I came in this morning, I felt that the Lord told me that we have to pray for the married couples. We have to pray for the marriages. We have to pray for those who are married. God wants to do a work within their life. He wants to visit the homes. You understand? Therefore, after praying for her, when you know that you are married, please, you come forward with your wife, with your husband. We are going to pray for you. We are praying for your family. We want to raise healing. There's some problems which is going on within your families. Some of you are about even to lose your family, to lose your marriage. But God can heal it. God can restore it. God wants to visit your families. That's what we are going to pray for.